Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Yes, we're very excited about this, and we're going to be talking about when and how to start a new relationship. Is it even possible during these times? Well, joining me on the line now is our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. How are you?
Hiya, Jen. I love that you actually stopped the music for me there.
Oh, I had to. I had to, because what a day to come back to work. The day that you are here every Wednesday around 11:15, sex therapy. I'm always so excited about it because we always talk about amazing stuff. We're keeping it less sexy today because kids are home and probably around the radio, and more kind of relationship-y, aren't we?
We are, and well, it's going to be less sexy anyway because this topic, you know, it's not like anyone's going to be, well, you could be having lots and lots of video and phone and text sex, but it's not, you know, if it's a new relationship, it's not happening in person.
So this chat is really for the singletons out there. Rachel, is it even possible now, never mind a good time, to start a new relationship?
Oh, it's actually such a good time, you know, it is, but I'm very big, I'm going to be controversial about the timing. I really think there is actually no such thing as a right or wrong time to start a relationship. You can start a relationship when you're struggling with your mental health. You can start a relationship right after ending another one. You can start one when you don't have a job, when you're still trying to find yourself.
Grieving.
When you've got no friends. All sorts of things. You know, okay. I think we've got some really... Go on, what are you going to say?
Grieving. I mean, if you're
grieving,
just, yeah, is that a good time? Because I always thought, or you know, that mightn't be a good time. You should probably get yourself into a better place before you start a relationship. But you're saying no, anytime's a good time.
Well, I'm not saying now. What I'm wanting to say here is caveat this: I'm absolutely not advocating for mindless behavior that's impulsive or irresponsible or lacking self-awareness. You know, use your brain. But what I am saying is that there's a lot of cliched sort of compulsory cultural messages that were given, that were kind of imposed upon romantic relationships, like you have to love yourself before you can love someone else. I mean, nobody loves themselves all the time, you know, or like you have to be healed, you have to be over your grief completely of a last relationship before you can start a new one. Very few of us completely get over everybody that we've ever been with. So I think it's just important to question, you know, as long as you're being honest and upfront with the other person or people or however many are involved in the relationship, you know, I think it's important to challenge the messaging about there being these right or wrong
right
times
wrong. Okay.
To have a relationship. Yeah.
Good
so
point.
Make your have absolutely have your own personal rules and boundaries based on your knowledge of yourself and what's good for you and needs you to feel safe. But, you know, I think it is good to discourage rigid and unquestioned dating and relationship rules, because you could end up throwing away a potentially great opportunity with someone just because you have this notion that you have to be in a, you know, much, much better place before you can engage.
So how do you know? How do you know if you're ready for a relationship?
Well, I think it's about sitting down and actually seeing like where's your head at? How are you feeling? You know, it's okay to be not over someone completely, as I said, if you've come out of a relationship recently. But, you know, sometimes we can have grief after a relationship for years afterwards, for all sorts of reasons. But have an idea of where you are, like take stock of yourself, you know, take responsibility for yourself. Do you need to go to therapy? Do you need to be sort of sitting down and journaling daily? Do you need to be taking, you know, just taking responsibility for yourself, basically? But that other than that, you know, you get to decide when you're ready. And sometimes someone might come along a little bit before you feel like it's the right time, and you might decide, and it's absolutely fine for you to decide that you want to wait a period of time. But it's also okay to decide that you don't want to wait, and that you're happy to, you know, as we are all doing to some degree, sort of muddle through while you're getting to know someone and figuring out, you know, yourself in the process.
And can you prep yourself? Like, how do you prep yourself for getting into a relationship, so to speak?
Loads of ways. So a good thing to do is to get an idea of your attachment style. You can read loads about that, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again. But you can basically figure out, you know, and it won't be the same in all your relationships. You might have a pattern of what is called anxious attachment in your romantic relationships, but you might have a more avoidant style in your platonic relationships, and you might be very secure across the board. But it's a good idea to research that a bit, and you can do lots of, you know, kind of quizzes and tests online and just read a bit about it. But that'll give you a good idea, because generally you want to choose someone who isn't going to be most likely to really set you off in a relationship where you're just completely rubbing up against each other. So usually you'll find people with anxious attachment very attracted to those with avoidant attachment. And even just from the words alone, I guess you can imagine how that can end up being a roller coaster, where one person is kind of pushing and wanting more and the other person is pulling away, and you get this sort of hot cold effect, which is often disastrous. But that's one way to prep: get an idea of your attachment style so that you can recognize that in yourself and other people. Have an idea of your conflict style as well. Question what forms of relationships you're open to. Are you only looking for a monogamous relationship? Are you potentially open to other kinds? Be clear about your deal breakers. You know, something you can do is look back on your past relationships, or even if you don't have any particularly, you know, longer term romantic relationships, you can just think about people that you know, and just have an idea of what your deal breakers are, what you really have enjoyed and found fulfilling from past relationships. It might not be the same for now, but it can still give you some information. But those are some sorts of things, you know. And then even just like knowing the parts of us expect a romantic partner, you know, it's again very cultural messaging to fulfill all your needs. And actually, I think a good way to approach it is meet someone who you can tolerate when they don't meet all your needs, because no one is going to meet all your needs all the time. So, you know, sometimes we'll be able to tolerate certain flaws and sort of limitations in people, and certain others we just won't. So just having an idea of those, they're great ways to prep yourself in terms of your expectations and your needs, and just go into it with with your eyes open.
And some important tips for actually dating someone.
Yeah. OK, so be open, clear and direct about your intentions and feelings to yourself and them. You know, this is a big sort of millennial and to some degree Gen Z problem, Generation Z, you know, where yourself, where, you know, it's people are just not being very upfront about how they actually feel.
Can we talk about this for a second? OK,
yes.
Because, and I like that you said it was a problem, because what I'm hearing on the street, because obviously I'm not single and dating, is that the Gen Z, they're meeting someone, they're dating, they're having a great time. Then they become exclusive is like the first step. And then then the next step after that is they wait for generally the guy to ask them to be their girlfriend. So is this not just setting us back 30 years? And is this the way Gen Z are going? And it just seems a bit archaic, and I can't believe that this is happening now in this day and age. Surely if they're exclusive, their boyfriend and girlfriend, I mean, it seems to be a different thing.
Well, look, this is the problem with labels. I think labels can be so useful for us, to us, up to a point where they can give us an idea of what's going on. They can give us understanding, clarity, and, you know, a better idea of where to go from there. But the thing is that these labels and words and phrases and, you know, the significance of them is constantly evolving. It's very hard to keep up, which I know is feel like an owl one saying that now, but like it does feel like that. So I think that just questioning, you know, the norms is a really good idea. Breaking these collective delusions of the sort of etiquette that we're supposed to have, like in heterosexual relationships, this idea, you know, just be aware of these socially endorsed narratives. You know, the idea that we have soulmates, or that we should never fight, or that we have to go along this ever-changing relationship escalator, where, as you said, it can go from we're exclusive, but that doesn't mean a relationship. You know, other ideas like opposites attract, or that you should play hard to get, or don't have sex too soon, you know, or that a relationship will happen when you least expect it, or even just the idea that when you meet the right person, you'll know instantly. All of these things, you know, there can be grains of truth to some of them, but on the whole, they just end up being, you know, sort of off-putting. They scare you off, and they make you feel less than and bad about yourself, and they make you doubt yourself. So, you know, I think that just being aware of the messaging and what works for you, being as honest and upfront as you can, you know, worrying less about if the other person likes you and more about whether you actually like and value and respect them as you're getting to know them. You know, another tip is to be present. You know, don't analyze during your dates wait till afterwards to reflect on it. Try and be as present as possible when you're actually, you know, on the video call or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing in terms of, like, if you're just messaging or whatever. But just try to be present. Another thing is to respond promptly and actively to communication. You know, this is another thing that I'm seeing with the younger generations is some people are great at it, but there's also this sense that, you know, you might just not get back to someone for days at a time. Now, sure, if you actually only want to message someone every couple of days, but if it's a game playing tactic, then I think it's a good one to question. You know, express curiosity, ask questions, don't just answer them, but also reveal, you know, some of yourself as time goes on. So answer questions too. Don't assume things, you know, don't assume, as you said there, just because you've said that you're exclusive with each other, it's there's just not much use in assuming that then means X, Y, and Z. Talk
so,
about it.
Yeah, go, so
say
going
what
back
you
to
want
your,
to talk
yeah,
about.
Honesty. It just goes back to your point there. Doesn't it just be as honest as you possibly can with yourself first and verbalizing that, would you say? You know, I'm just thinking about those people who are in that weird, you know, are we, aren't we kind of phase. Is it important for them to voice their concerns or just kind of be more relaxed about it?
Definitely voice your concerns if you have them. I would say, you know, check in with yourself first.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that I'm concerned about? Is this more because I feel as though this, you know, relationship with this person should be going a certain way because that's what it's been like for my friends, or that's what social media tells me, or, you know, my sort of relationship goals and the next step? Or is it actually more to do with the fact that I don't fully know where I stand? I want to feel safer. It's important for me to feel secure. You know, that nobody wants to be with someone where they feel like it's hot and cold and they don't know where they stand. Now, parts of that can feel exciting, and we can equate that with, you know, sort of yearning and longing, and that can kind of, we can romanticize the sense of not really knowing where we stand. But basically, we don't actually want that because it doesn't lead us to feel safe or secure. So we can't really enjoy it. So absolutely voice your concerns, but take responsibility for your feelings. Say, you know, I'm feeling a bit anxious, and I'm wondering where, you know, where your head is at on this. And, you know, put forward, lay your cards out about what it is that you're feeling, maybe what it is that you want. That's different to making demands from someone and saying, right, well, I want us to be exclusive starting tomorrow. Unless you're up for that, I'm out of here. Now, you know, maybe someone feels that strongly and that is what they want to say. But on the whole, you know, most of us just want to check in and get some reassurance from the other person that we're basically on the same wavelength.
What are some good questions to ask someone if you're, let's say you're just dating, just to get to know them on a deeper level without, you know, sound like a psycho?
Oh, there's so many, and I don't think you have to worry about sounding like a psycho. You know, the quicker we are able to be more upfront about the fact that we all have quirks and idiosyncrasies, we all have things that we're working on, we all have issues. Most of us have or have had, you know, issues with our mental health. And so just sort of like getting to know someone on a bit of a deeper level. You know, what I see on a lot of dating apps is people asking these sort of, and some people are into them, but just like, you know, wild questions like, what sort of animal would you be and why? And like, great if you're up for that and you actually find that funny and interesting. But, you know, I think a lot of people just sort of, it's a bit eye roll, you know, you've had enough of that when you've gone through that with tens to hundreds of people. But let's say getting to know someone a bit better. If you already have been on, you know, a good few dates with them and you've been chatting quite a bit, you know, you can kind of step it up with asking things like, what would you most like people to know about you? What's been your worst date? Ask them to answer questions about you. You might ask them things like, what do you think I like to spend my money on? Has sex ever been a deal breaker for you in a past relationship? What about me feels familiar? You know, another good one is, the hardest thing to reveal about myself to you was ... what would you most like me to appreciate about you? What have you learned about being single? What do you think your parents taught you about love and relationships? You know, there's all sorts of things that we can actually ask. And you can get loads of lists of these online and sort of tailor them to language that you know, makes sense for you or sounds more natural to you.
So really, it's all about being honest, isn't it, with yourself and the other person? I mean, that's the biggest thing I got from our chat today. But can I just ask you before we go about the coming out the other end of the relationship, and maybe you've had a great relationship, whether it's good or bad, and you're no longer with that person, because we were talking about keepsakes and Xboxes with Lottie, and how some people, even though they're married, keep a little box or keep a little memento from a previous relationship. Is that a good idea, or should we just let it go?
Oh, back to the timing thing, Jen. It's going to be personal. It's going to be individual to the person. I know loads of people who've kept memory boxes, sometimes with loads of stuff, you know, especially if you've been with someone. It doesn't have to be for a long time, but, you know, often if it has been for a long time, there's just going to be more, you know, meaningful, potentially meaningful memories. And so, you know, there, it just is no one size fits all about whether you should keep something like that. If it feels good to you and it's not, you know, really like causing you loads of distress and stopping you from functioning in some way, then go for it. And also, you know, that it's responsible. It's not sort of, you know, hurting someone else or intruding on their privacy.
Yeah.
Well, I know I've heard of loads of people who've kept underwear from past partners.
Oh God. Well, listen, just to let you know about one time it absolutely backfired. I just got a text in saying, Jen, I went out with my ex for 14 years and we were together since we were 16. I'd have to throw out a lot if I had your attitude. He was at my Debs, my 18th, my 21st, my 30th. So I can never get away from those memories. And I'm okay with that. I did have to ask my sister to take down a photo she had of her at the wedding that he was at. Was that a step too far? But someone else says, Jen, I don't think it's healthy to hold on to anything an ex gave you. If they broke your heart, this texter says. My ex gave me his old car. I put it up on CarZone the day after we broke up and sold it for half nothing. I couldn't cope with driving it anymore. So is that maybe a rule of thumb? If they've broken your heart, maybe don't.
No, definitely not. I mean, I still have, I'm going to let my own creepiness out here. I still have a lock of hair from someone who broke my heart.
Oh, do you do weird things with that, like put a lighter to it and stuff like that when you're feeling
She said it would be gone.
Yes, that is true. Well, listen, always enlightening. Rachel Cook, thank you so much. We'll get a bit sexier next week.
Woo!
Yes, let's do it. There we go. That is Rachel Cook, mental health consultant and sex therapist. She's always amazing. And if you have anything that you would like us to talk about, especially with Rachel, you can get in touch with the show. You can email jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.